Joel at the beginning of our time of praise and worship, and this is the second reading from Acts chapter 2. It is exactly what Joel prophesied with 800 years before. Peter now addresses and confirms to the crowd that this is what Joel prophesied. This is the outpouring of God's Spirit. This is just after the Pentecost, when Peter stands before a crowd of people and he addresses them. This is the word of God from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. This is, as I said, a passage that now, 800 years later, has been fulfilled. And Peter reminds them that this is something not new. Joel prophesied this 800 years ago, and right before their eyes, that fulfillment became true. What an incredible experience that must have been for the people who were there. What an incredible encouragement must have been for the disciples, especially for Peter, who came and addressed the crowd. And what a privilege has been given to him to come and announce that. What an understanding he had of God's plan for salvation and the working of God's Spirit, to stand up in front of that crowd and declare, these now are the days, these are now the days when the outpouring of God's Spirit will come on all flesh, on your kids, your children, on our elderly, on our fathers and mothers, and on all people, slave and non-slave, those who are black or white, different races, different communities, all together, the Lord's Spirit will be outpoured. Well, I've been in preparation for this message. I've ordered a book that I've heard about it for a while, and I haven't had the privilege to read it, but it's the kind of book that I love reading. It's written by a young person in his 30s. Well, that's when he wrote it. I think he's a bit older now, probably early 40s. Blue Like Jazz. And his name is Donald Miller. And usually what he says there is that too much of our time is spent trying to chart God, to use his words, on a grid, and too much or too little time is spent allowing our hearts to feel awe. And basically, the thesis of that book, it says that we become so indoctrinating, so dogmatic, so religious, so traditional, so busy with church life and ministry, that we have lost the sense of awe and wonder of God's Spirit. We have. And he doesn't diminish what we do. He says it's good to have God's word, the truth, to be established in it, but also it's good to come out of that and let loose and be accustomed, prepare and expecting the awe and wonder, the unexpected of God's Spirit. That's the kind of book that I love to read. I really recommend, if you can find it on Amazon. I think I bought it for 1p, 280, I think is the postage. 1P. What an amazing book that is. I don't really recommend books, but this is one of them that, if you want to go in it, is brilliant. I read a passage on the worship. He's got a chapter on the worship, and he says this there. I love how the gospel starts with John the Baptist eating bugs and baptizing people. The religious people started getting baptized because he had become popular. That was the norm. And John yells at them and calls them snakes. He says the water won't do anything for them. It will only get their snake skins wet. That's all. They will still remain religious. Why? Because they lost the sense of wonder of God's Spirit. If they meant it, if they had faith that Jesus was coming and was real, then they would have allowed Jesus, listen to what it says here, they would have allowed Jesus to ignite the kingdom life within them and not to live in a traditional lifestyle. Wow! Get a book. You would love it. You would love it. I believe that this guy, as a young person when he wrote that book, is onto something incredible. Religion, even good biblical evangelical religion, can become a false gospel, can become a replacement of Jesus. That's what he says. That leads us astray from intimacy with God. Because as soon as our toys, religious toys, are moved away from us, there's nothing left. We don't want to follow a Jesus that is intimate, that is close. Perhaps his most important statement is this: God will ignite the kingdom life, he says, I pray within me. God will ignite the kingdom life. I love that. Absolutely love that. And that brings me to the words of this incredible prophet, Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Why? To run churches, programs and stuff and things? No. But before we get into that, let me break this sentence, which I think is one of the most important sentences in the whole of Scripture. One of, is in the first 10 of my most important ones. I, that's about the sovereignty of God. It's not the pastor who will pour out the Spirit. It's not the pastor's manipulation of worship or of praise or of singing or of preaching or whatever that will pour out the Spirit. It's not. It's God that will do that. It's God's sovereign will. It's nobody else that can do it. Will, and this is the promise of God. No, I might, but I will. On your kids, I will do it. That's his promise. That's his determination. That's the reason. And pour out, that's the generosity of God. That's his incredible grace. And then it's my spirit, it's his personality. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness and love and patience and self-control, all will be given to us. I will pour out my spirit. It's him that will do it. This is one of the greatest statements. This is how God ignites kingdom life, to use the words of this guy, Donald, in his people. He pours out his spirit on them and they are never, ever the same again. As I said, I can preach for hours, but I cannot pour out his spirit on you or on me. This is not the result of church membership or organized programs. This is God's doing and only he can do it. Nobody else can. So let me just briefly go with you through this incredible promise that God has given to his people, and I will pour out my spirit. When Joel writes this promise or records this promise, he uses the phrase, and I think I've got it there. No, I haven't. If we can go back to that verse, Andy, thank you. At the very beginning, he says, and afterwards, God will pour out my spirit. In verse 28, is to indicate that the blessing of God's spirit comes after God's judgment on the unbelieving people of Judah at the time. 800 years later, Joel 2 is quoted by Peter in that passage. Oh yeah, there it is, and afterwards is there, yeah. Now, and this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, Peter does something here. Did you see what Joel said? And afterwards, look what Peter says at the beginning. In the last days, God says. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. The last days started on the day of Pentecost, exactly. We live in the last days, have started about 2,000 years ago. I think I've told you this, but my grandmother had every day, she drove me nuts and mad, a prayer, Lord, come, come, because these are the last days. I had enough of sin, and of people taking your name in vain, of depravity that is, people unfaithfulness. And come now, come now. These are the last days. She always instilled that in me, and I was living in fear of God, that these are the last days and he's going to come and I'm going to be punished and I'm going to go to hell because that's all what she was telling me almost weekly. If I don't repent, I will go to hell. Peter says, in these last days, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Those are the last days. Pentecost inaugurates, starts the beginning of the last days. Been 2,000 years ago, and we don't know how long those last days will last. But then he says in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power in those last days when the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God never poured out his Spirit that we may have a good, entertaining, religious time. It isn't for that. As much as I love to pray for revival, and revival is good, but usually revival touch up and revive those who are already traditional. And may long continue, and may the Lord bring more revival among us, church people. But revival is for church people. Revival, it is not for the unbelievers. The Holy Spirit of God is for unbelievers. It's been given to the church to go and remind the unbelieving world that God is love. That's the reason the Holy Spirit of God was outpoured on us, that we may go to the ends of the earth, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what Jesus has commanded us. And this is a promise, secondly, for all people, because sin lives in our flesh. That's where we fight our spiritual battles, as Daniel reminded us this morning. And here the Lord promises to send his Spirit to help us in our spiritual battles. He not only wants to be around us, but he wants to live within us, that we may be able to fight all these battles. Now in Numbers 11, the scripture shows us an incredible, a remarkable story from the days when the Israelites, they were wandering through the desert. They were grumpy, miserable as they usually were, and they were grumpy against Moses, and especially against his leadership. And Moses goes to God and says, I just had enough, really. I really had enough. Now God responded by telling Moses to call the 70 elders of Israel, and call them into the tent of meeting and pray for them for an outpouring of the Spirit. So Moses does that. He calls the 70 elders of Israel and he prays for them. And the Holy Spirit of God, the outpouring, comes on the people. And they all begin to pray and bring praises to God. And the closest I can give you is, if I just for 10 seconds, I want you to pray out loud, whatever you want. On three, I just want you to pray out loud to give you an idea of what happened then when Moses asked it, when the Holy Spirit came on the 70 elders alongside Moses. So on three, just pray out loud whatever you want. Just praise the name of the Lord in one sentence or whatever. But all together. One, two, three. Oh, man. That's an evidence of the outpouring of the Spirit on you. May the Lord bless you. And it was a bit more dramatic than that. But two of them, they didn't have the courage to come into the tent, because when they heard all these lovely praise and stuff, they got frightened. It was something out of the ordinary. They weren't used to it. The name, what was their name? I think it's Medad and Eldad. Something with that, anyway. that of that and that of the other. And when they came, they didn't have the courage. But the scripture tells us actually there's a way, few yards away from outside the meeting tent, the Spirit of God came on them too. So they started praising God alongside with those in the tent. Whew, that took them by surprise. And the two of them come to Moses, and they don't like it. And then Joshua comes up. He shows up, and he doesn't like what's happening. It was all, you know, there's no Baptist, you know, this is Pentecostal stuff. It's not Baptist stuff, you know, when you're doing all that stuff here. So Joshua's complaining to Moses about this. And Moses says to Joshua, I love this. Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord will put his Spirit on them. Boom. Boom. Because we expect the people, we expect the Holy Spirit of God to work in a specific certain way that doesn't disturb our religious style and traditional way of doing stuff. You know, why do we let the Holy Spirit to come and mess about, you know, ministries and stuff and things? He says, are you jealous for my sake? Do you think I brought the Holy Spirit on these people? No. It is God, and I wish that he will do it on all people, not just on the 70. That's the Holy Spirit coming to do his workings among his people. That's the whole point of the text. What Moses wished for, what Joel predicted, what Peter explained, is now available to every believer. And when God comes with his Spirit, whether you want to be part of the tent or just on the outskirts, the Spirit of God will come and touch you and me. It's a promise not only for all people, but it's also a promise for all groups. Young men will see visions. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That God will pour out. He pours out his Spirit because these are the last days. You know, on Thursday evening, we got to hear in church, in the fellowship room there, under Kirsty's leadership. She led us to pray for the police. It was only just a handful of us. But some of us, and we're sitting there, and she very wonderfully coordinated a prayer meeting, and we pray to specific things and for our country and for the things that go on in the dark world of the society and so on. But as we pray together, we're praying, Lord, yes, there is violence in the world today, but you promised that you will pour out your Spirit, and you are doing it now. Yes, there are wars in the world, but you pour out your Spirit. Yes, there is crime in London, but you still pour out your Spirit. And we pray throughout that hour that the Lord will continue to pour out his Spirit. Because those are the last days. He didn't pour it out before. He pours it now when we think terrible days. They are. But the promise was not before Jesus. The promise is now. He will pour out his Spirit. Those are the days. Even better than of Elijah and Moses, because these are the days of Jesus, of his Holy Spirit, that he pours out his Spirit on your kids, on my kids. Yeah, okay, they might not be in church, but they go into universities and you will pour out his Spirit. They will go to work in prisons and you will continue to pour out his Spirit on them. They will become teachers, plumbers, they will become doctors, they will become whatever they will become, electricians. He will pour out his Spirit on them. He does pour his Spirit on them. He will pour his Spirit on elderly people. You see what is interesting in this passage, that it doesn't say the middle gap, people like me in their 40s and 50s. You know, oh man, next year I'm going to be 50. Oh, painful. I'm old. But the Lord says, I think as you get to 50, you get into the bracket of I will pour out my Spirit. at the moment I'm not at that stage, is the middle gap that is left out. Somehow, the prophecy seems to be incredible on our young people. It is to be on the elderly. The young people dream dreams, have visions. The elderly have the faith. They've been carried with them over the years. It is something that we as a generation can learn from them. It is something that Debbie mentioned this morning at the leaders, Connect Group leaders meeting, that we want to integrate one another in our groups, from young and old to all sorts of ages, rather than having segregated groups. We want all together to have community and fellowship. This is what the Lord will do. I will pour out the Spirit on all flesh, young and old. We need the energy of the young and the faith of the old if the church is to be all God wants it to be in these last days. We do. And this is a promise of God's, dare I say, I'm going to use the word, coming judgment. Look at this. It's something that we want to pass quickly over this verse because it's not good. It's not, you know, I think better God gets his act together. How can he be that kind of a God, you know? But if God is love and his grace and his forgiveness, he's also righteous. He's a holy God too, who will punish sin within that. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We are in the last days, the day before that day, when God pours out his Spirit so that he could save as many as possible from that day that comes about. These verses were not fulfilled in Joel's day. They were not fulfilled on Pentecost. They have not been fulfilled since then. These verses will be literally fulfilled in the days just preceding the coming of Christ, when that might be. We like to think that our Father who art in heaven has matured and is all about grace and love and forgiveness. We like to think that he's learned to control his temper and overlook our sin. That hellfire and brimstone stuff, quite well, it's just so out of date. We don't want to scare people with that stuff. And of course, finally, this is a promise of salvation. I love how it doesn't end on judgment. It ends on grace. It ends on love. It ends on an outpouring, the result of God's outpouring on all flesh. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, because those are the day of the outpouring of God's Spirit, will be saved. Everyone. Jew, non-Jew, black and white, Romanian and English, they will all be saved who will call on the name of the Lord. This text, this passage, this scripture, it is so crucial that it appears in the Bible three times, in Joel 2:28, in Acts 2:21, and in Romans 10:13. God always intended to make a universal offer of salvation through the death and resurrection of his Son. The outpouring of the Spirit means the offer of salvation that goes to every person on the whole of the earth. And remember that everyone, that word everyone, really means everyone. It includes those poor souls who live in the slums of Calcutta, who we think they are less fortunate or less blessed than we are. But it includes also the super rich who live in different countries to now the world. It was funny this morning as I was listening to the radio that they announced the richest person in this country who has £41 billion. The richest person, I forgot his name. The culture and the illiterate, the grace of God includes both those who are saved and those who will be saved. It certainly includes those who are regarded as odd, strange, eccentric by the world standard. And he reaches out to take in the sick, the weak, the disabled, the discouraged, the hopeless, the homeless. He takes them all in. God, I believe, is more willing to pour out His Spirit than we are to receive His outpouring. That is the trouble. He is more willing to pour His blessing, His Spirit on us. But because of our disobedience, because of our stuck in our religious traditional ways, literally, then the Spirit of God is blocked somehow. It is stopped somehow. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit. We should not be surprised that the last days will be the days of trouble and blessing mixed. So it has always been for God's people, so will be till Jesus will return. The terrorists may strike again. And as we heard this morning, they have in Paris last night, or early hour this morning. The Lord says, I'll still pour out my Spirit. The love of many will grow cold. The Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit in those last days. I am pouring out my Spirit. Christians will be persecuted in many places. I will pour out my Spirit. When God's Spirit is poured out, the result will be a church filled with passion, zeal, and enormous, humongous, incredible spiritual power. They will feed the hungry, will be a voice for those who, for the refugee, will be an incredible encouragement to the world that is so pessimistic and lacks of hope. Next week, we're going to look at, on Pentecost Day, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may continue to witness to His love and grace. I want to be part of that. To close with you, during the days of Reformation, many churches adopted what they call Semper Reformanda as their motto. It means always reforming. Those Reformed churches, the new Protestant churches, they've got together, and for a year they met together and they said, we promise that from our generation, from this day forward, we will always be reforming according to the outpouring of God's Spirit. And this is what our outpouring of God's Spirit does for us. It will never ever allow us to stay the same, but will continue reform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we may become disciples who make disciples for His glory. And I hope and pray that this will stand with me and with you. We're going to have a time where we come before the Lord in prayer. We come for the Lord to just reflect. And as we come to worship Him, we have a song. I like you to use it for each one of us to stand there, to sit together, as you sit in your seats. If you want to sing this song or just reflect on it, but use it as a prayer where the Spirit of God comes and falls afresh on you. We've heard that these are the last days. This is where the promise is being fulfilled as I speak. It might be in areas of your life that you need the outpouring of God's Spirit, His grace, His guidance. Let's for a moment or two reflect as we sing this. If you want to sing it, or just pray through. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you into that specific area of your life where you want Him to pour His Spirit. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.